Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel, and I ask him his name. It's a financial company, and I realize this angel is here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans, and it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The election results are in. And this is breaking news. This is Wretched Radio. Okay, arguably, which is a phrase that is always used to say, not definitively, but arguably, Friel, we know what the word means, arguably, a bigger election than the 2020 elections. Why? Because this was an election inside of the largest Protestant denomination in the country. Voting for different offices, in particular the high-profile office, of course, of presidency, hotly contested, being scrutinized from a lot of different angles because the implications are big. The New York Times recognized that, claiming that the Southern Baptists narrowly head off conservative takeover. So the world is indeed interested in what is happening, and we should be far more so because this is Christ's church, and we care about the church. And whilst denominations aren't biblically mandated, I think they're almost God's concession. You people can't seem to get along in complete unity, so I'll let you have denominations. And so we like to see these denominations solid, strong. It is not good when we see a big organization slip sliding away. And so all eyes were on the Southern Baptist Convention, in particular, the resolution on critical race theory, in particular, the issue of role of women in the church, in particular, sexual abuse, and in particular, the presidential election. Don't know if you've heard, it went to two rounds. The first round, it had, we'll just say, three opponents. And this is extraordinarily important. If you will, on the left side of the spectrum, you had a fellow running named Ed Litton. The centrist was Dr. Al Mohler. What, the guy who's being considered hard right, I would just say he's conservative, is Pastor Mike Stone of Blackshear, Georgia, Emmanuel Baptist Church. And the vote, the first round, I think this was a shock to a lot of people. Al Mohler was not move forward. Two men were, the guy on the left, the guy on the right. Which way would the people in the middle go? The second round revealed they went to the left. And it was a 52-47 victory for what we'll just call, and please don't align this with, like, Democrats, because that would be silly. But they are more leaning to the left on issues like critical race theory and maybe other issues. But 52-47, that's pretty tight. And the questions before us now are, what does this mean and what's the future for the SBC to answer that question? It's a joy to have on the telephone aforementioned pastor, Mike Stone. Mike, good morning. I suspect that you're a little bit poopticated.
I am. There have been some long days and late nights, but I'm a longtime listener and fan of your show. It's a privilege to be with you.
Okay, well, let's see if we can not wreck that opinion. All right, Mike, here's what I want to understand, because you're obviously an insider. You're with a man in the middle of this horse race. You know SBC far more than I do. Help those of us on the outside looking in. What is the significance of the 52-47 vote?
Well, I think it shows that there are deep fractures and there remain to be some different views and visions for the future of the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm a pastor from a town of about 4,000 people, and until I got in this race, I was little known outside of my own state and maybe a couple of adjacent states. And I was in this race against some highly known people. I think most listeners would believe that Al Mohler is the most recognizable name in the Southern Baptist Convention, maybe for the last 20 to 25 years. And I ended up running against not only the entire machine of the Southern Baptist Convention, but the mainstream media itself, secular media. And to still be able to come in and pull off 47% to 48% in the very first year is quite telling. I saw somebody had put on Twitter that we got into the Super Bowl our very first year, lost by a field goal, and Lucy was the one holding the football. And so that's just a little bit of perspective that deep divisions still remain. I think it shows a lack of being in touch between some of the elite leadership in the SBC and the rank and file folks out at the pews.
I'm hearing, then, this is my interpretation of what you just said, you're actually encouraged, not discouraged.
Todd, I am deeply encouraged, especially when you consider all that was coming against this more conservative movement in the first year of our existence, to get within striking distance with some of the things that were thrown against us. I do understand that every pastor who has these concerns does not share that perspective. There are some who are already talking about leaving the convention, and I just want to encourage them that if you leave, you don't have a voice. And we're talking about the largest non-Catholic denomination in the United States of America. It is a deeply important movement and convention of churches, and I think it's worth hanging around and fighting for. And I am greatly encouraged about the prospects of a more conservative movement within the SBC.
If you had to prognosticate, what do you believe is the immediate future? And I'll define immediate as the next 2 years until the next presidential election. What is your hope for the future? And what do you think the future is for the SBC?
Well, I think the SBC is at a crossroads. We're having to determine which direction we're going to go. There was so much talk this year about being reminded that the world is watching. And I do think we should be keenly and greatly concerned about our testimony. That's a biblical thing, that our light would shine in the darkness and men would see our good works, glorify our Father. I know all the verses that people would use to talk about the importance of our witness. But I think it's more important that we recognize not just that a lost, unregenerate world is watching, but that our Heavenly Father is watching. There seem to be too many instances where we're more concerned about trying to be sure that lost people think nicely of us than to do those things consistent with what Jude called the faith once for all delivered to the saint. I'll give you just a real quick illustration of that. Critical race theory with Resolution 9, which I know your listeners would be familiar with largely, specifically stated that critical race theory and intersectionality were analytical tools. Thousands of messengers came to the convention this year to address that, and the Resolutions Committee would not call critical race theory by its name. They wanted to pass a resolution just renouncing all unbiblical theories and ideologies, but they did not want to be specific. One of the leaders from the platform said that, this could be compared to evolution, that evolution is also an unbiblical theory. But Todd, the reality is Southern Baptists are not recently on record saying that evolution and Darwinism is a helpful analytical tool to help exegete the creation account of Genesis 1 and 2. So when you have specific issues before the church, I think we need to call these things by their name. And that may seem a small thing to some people, but I think there are issues like that that are going to continue to raise their head within the Southern Baptist Convention until leaders stand up and deal with these things specifically and by name.
So in the next 2 years, will we be seeing a break off from the SBC?
I don't think so. I think there will be certainly some individual congregations who will leave, but I think the more conservative elements within the Southern Baptist Convention are going to find themselves energized, motivated, because we see that in a year where there was so much slander and accusation and opposition to our movement, we still came within striking distance. So I think it shows that really raising our voices and having a voice is a very workable plan within the Southern Baptist Convention.
Pastor Mike Stone, who was a candidate for the SBC president, sharing what he thinks the future holds. I would like to know, sir, the individuals who are very much in favor of CRT have threatened prior to the convention that if it is denounced, they would split. Resolution 2 did not mention CRT, but clearly it was intended to say, no, we're going to submit to the Bible. Did that satisfy them?
Well, the early indications are that it is, that it does satisfy them, which, again, just shows some of the divide in the convention that you will accept a certain theory as long as it's not renounced by name. And I believe in preaching with specificity. I've preached verse by verse through books of the Bible, and I've frequently come to the state to my church that it's specificity that offends. There's a lot of preaching, and frankly, Todd, there are a lot of resolutions out of the Southern Baptist Convention that can be so vague and so nebulous that they don't convict those that are guilty of violating that biblical principle, and they don't encourage those who are faithful. They're just so vague and nameless. And so I think this issue is going to stay with us.
Please, within 20 seconds, respond to the accusations against you that you were involved in covering up sexual abuse scandals.
Those allegations are as offensive as they are false. As a sexual abuse survivor myself, the notion that I would seek to cover up sexual abuse is absurd. And I would just quickly point out the only allegations that come to the executive committee are allegations that are already publicly known, so there is not a possibility, therefore, to cover them up.
Pastor Mike Stone, fighting the good fight, trying to be as biblical as possible in the SBC, which means he needs our prayers, and so do all of the fellows that are fighting alongside of him, and we need to be praying for the SBC. This is Wretched Radio. If and you think there are assaults on biblical truth in the good old U.S. of A., oh, travel overseas. Those assaults do not stay inside of our borders, and that is why Dr. John MacArthur, leading the Master's Academy International mini-seminaries all throughout the world in 17 different nations, equipping pastors to rightly divide the word, fill empty pulpits, and defend the truth.
The foundation of all ministry is having a firm grasp of the authority and inerrancy of Scripture. The age of tolerance in which we live has caused guys to soften their message, which means you eliminate certain things in Scripture or you soften the message. Young guys that are coming into the ministry need to reaffirm their commitment to the authority and power of Scripture.
Please support that effort through the Master's Academy International, wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Thanks for being here today on Wretched Radio. And listen, have you checked out the Wretched website yet? If not, you're really missing out on some amazing and valuable content at wretched.org. You'll find full and complete Wretched TV and radio episodes. Also, the Wretched store with nearly 50 helpful resources like Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3, Jesus Unmasked, 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide, and more. And you're also going to find one of my favorite features, the Wretched Library. It's full of teaching on a ton of topics ranging from abortion to pneumatology, to evangelism, and marriage. And you can also visit the donate page. That's where you'll find all the information you'll ever need on becoming a gospel partner. Without your support, we wouldn't be able to do what we're privileged to do here every day at Wretched. So if you're not already a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? We can't do any of this without you. Check all these features out right now at wretched.org. That's wretched.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
And now a message from our dear brother Paul Marty of the Tomorrow Club's Kids Bible Clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. Just in case it isn't difficult enough to do ministry in poor Eastern Europe.
2020 has been a challenging year for all of us, and especially hard for the vulnerable kids and families the Tomorrow Club serve. But support from the Wretched audience has enabled us to continue to bring a message of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the forsaken places we serve. Thank you so much.
If you are a Tomorrow Club supporter, I echo his gratitude. If you are not, would you please consider becoming a Tomorrow Club supporter? You can sponsor your own kids' club in Eastern Europe so efficiently. Just $30 per month to disciple 30 kids. Learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. 1 Corinthians is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. Paul addresses his concerns about divisions and immorality in the church. Then Paul answers questions from the Corinthians about marriage, food, worship, gifts, and the resurrection. When you want to understand God's high calling for the church, look to 1 Corinthians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What do we No. This is Wretched Radio. The SBC convention wrapping up, 15,000 messengers. Big issues, sexual abuse scandals. How are they to be dealt with? How have they been dealt with? The engagement of the SBC in political issues, role of women in the church, and of course, critical race theory, culminating with an election that saw a very close divide between what we'll call more conservative folks and less conservative folks in the SBC. They have a different take on issues specifically like CRT is probably the bellwether issue that was at the forefront of many people's minds as the issue that would help us understand where is the SBC theologically? Where are they in the spectrum of evangelical denominations? And I believe that it would be accurate to say they aren't wonky Protestants. They are individuals who would all, interestingly, they would all say they are conservative. Obviously, it needs to be determined who is and who isn't, but they would all say, no, we're biblically conservative. We have a high view of the Bible, but there is a divide on these important issues, specifically critical race theory. We could spend a great deal of time prognosticating about the future. It's anybody's guess. They may divide. Okay, I'll tell you mine. Here's my prognostication. I don't think you're going to see a major divide within 2 years. I think the conservatives are going to say, let's just stay in this horse race. We can do this. There is hope because the vote was so close. And this was really the first time that conservatives assembled to try to let their voices be heard. They came close, really close. And I think because of that, they're going to stay in the SBC and they're going to continue to work it out. What that looks like, ooh, that's going to be interesting. I don't think there's going to be a split within 2 years. Some people would say, nope, it's coming sooner than that. Nobody knows. So let's ask, what do we know? Is there anything that we can actually learn from the SBC convention? And I believe there is something really big that if we can't learn it, we need to start wrangling with it. There were three candidates for the office of president. Ed Litton, we're going to say he was on the left side. There was a centrist candidate in Dr. Al Mohler, who, for the record, is on the record of being against CRT, but by many was not deemed to be strong on the denunciation and leading the way on smushing CRT. On the right side, you had Pastor Mike Stone. After the first vote, I was stunned. Al Mohler was out of the race. He had about 26% of the SBC vote. Mike Stone, if I recall, was at 35 or 36% on the first, and I think Ed Litton, the more liberal fellow, for lack of a better term, was at 32%. What? Can we learn something from this? And I believe the answer is yes. Yes, we can. And you might differ in your thinking on this, but I would suggest to you, we need to do some thinking on this. And dear pastor of a local church, I suspect you already have been thinking about this, but perhaps we need to intensify our consideration of how we address these issues. We're going to focus on critical race theory because I think everybody, every one of us is, of course, opposed to sexual abuse. Of course, police should be called. Of course, people should be taken care of. Nobody's in disagreement about that. The role of women, well, apparently, with the exception of Saddleback Church, which, by the way, is going to be put before an SBC committee to determine whether or not they can continue fellowship in the SBC, I think overall, people understand 1 Timothy 2:12 is pretty clear. Political engagement, I think there's a pretty big divide in the SBC on that subject. Critical race theory, however, is really going to be the one that I think determines whether or not the SBC will veer in a majority way to the right or to the left. Why? Because I think it comes down to understanding what CRT is. Let me use an extraordinary example and then I'll back that off to try to demonstrate my point. If I said to you, Mein Kampf is a helpful analytical tool, you would say, no, it's not. It's terrible. And if your convention passed a resolution that said Mein Kampf is a helpful analytical tool, you would say, we got to get that off the books. Well, Resolution 2 at this year's conference didn't address Mein Kampf or critical race theory. It just said Bible is supreme. We all amen to that. And it was intended to be, I believe, a way to not annoy people inside of the SBC who are pro-CRT, as opposed to the people who wanted the thing named and denounced. Now, let me give you another example. If I said to you, Alice in Wonderland is a helpful analytical tool, you'd be like, well, no, that's kind of silly. Two different reactions from you regarding Mein Kampf and Alice in Wonderland. Why? Because you have an opinion about what it is. And I think, obviously, that's the big debate. What is CRT? Is it Mein Kampf, or is it Alice in Wonderland, or is it somewhere in between? And until that gets determined, I don't know that you're going to see anybody moving. And that is why what I think we know is that people want to know, and people want people to lead in a definitive way. I think that's what the defeat of Al Mohler on the first ballot tells us. They don't want in the middle. They're either for it or against it. They either love it or they hate it. And they simply want somebody to say, this is it, and call it what they believe that it is. Of course, the debate is going to be, what is it? Is it Mein Kampf? Or is it Alice in Wonderland? We got to stay focused on that. Don't lose sight of that as we try to move forward in conversation about this. What is this thing, this theory called critical race theory? And right now, I think what we can know from the SBC is that there are a lot of people who do know and have an opinion, and they want a leader who states it. Ed Litton, he's been very clear. He's very high on reconciliation, focusing on bringing different ethnic groups together. You would have to say that if anybody was more on the left of the CRT issue, he leads the way, and he brought 6,800 messengers with him. Mike Stone had 6,200, give or take, that said, no, we need to denounce this stuff. We need to uproot it and get it out of here. Pastor, if you try to ride the fence on this, I don't think you're going to be successful. I don't think that's what people want. I think that's what we can know from the SBC. Right now, people are not interested in Neville Chamberlain theologians. They want somebody to identify what it is. And I would encourage you to consider doing likewise. Determine whether this thing is Mein Kampf or Alice in Wonderland. And you're going to have to ride that horse. Are there going to be people who shoot at you? Yep. Could there be people who leave because of it? Yep. Could be, but you need to decide what it is, make the decision, and don't try to straddle the line. It's my opinion, based on my observation of the SBC, that's where the current leadership is at. But the next generation of leadership, that's not what the convention wanted. They didn't want a continuation of, we're going to be coy about these things. We're going to talk this way about it, and we're going to kind of talk that way. And we're going to make everybody happy with us so that we can just get through this thing. I think what we can know is we're not going to just get through this thing. This issue is a divider when you understand what CRT is. And that would be my second encouragement. Please determine, pastor, elders, leaders, SBC or not, what is this thing called CRT? Is it terrible, bad, divisive, hateful, or is it actually helpful? And until you make that call, jump on your horse and start riding, I think you're more in danger of losing more people than you are if you state, here's where I'm at. Let's just be clear on this stuff. This, remember, it's a big deal. There's all kinds of tentacles to it. It does reveal one's attitude about the Bible. But it's not an essential orthodoxy issue, so we should be able to do this lovingly, but let's do it clearly. Let's not talk out of both sides of our mouths. Let's just call it what we think that it is, and then, and I believe only then, will we be able to have some purity in the SBC and in conservative evangelical circles. This is an issue that will divide unless we identify what it is, come to terms with what it is, be willing to stick with what it is, contend for our position, and then we will see what God does. Centrism is not in. This is Wretched Radio.
Important dates in Christian history. 1675. German Lutheran minister Philipp Jakob Spener publishes Pia Desideria, which becomes a manifesto for pietism. While both Catholicism and Protestantism define the faith in largely communal and societal terms, pietism emphasizes the personal experience of being born again. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yeah. The world is watching. This is Wretched Radio, the Southern Baptist Convention concluding a new president, Ed Litton, more of a left-bending fellow, narrowly defeating the conservative guy, but more business was done at the SBC. And we're resolved to talk about two of the resolutions that were passed, starting with resolution number two, if you didn't keep track. This was the SBC's effort to deal with CRT without actually using the term CRT. It asked messengers to affirm the sufficiency of Scripture on race and racial reconciliation. In other words, no, Scripture is it. It's sufficient. We don't need anything else. That's what the word means. We don't need a theory to help us understand anything. It asked messengers to affirm the sufficiency of Scripture on race and reconciliation, condemn racism, and reject any theory or worldview that finds the ultimate identity of human beings in ethnicity or in any other group dynamic. Resolved. It was passed. But it went to vote very quickly. It is worth noting, this is a little bit of the inside game, but it is worth noting that there was a much stronger statement against CRT that was offered by a 1,300 member inside of the SBC, Conservative Baptist Association, that said, we need to denounce this thing by name, kill it with fire. That was not allowed out of committee. It never made it to the floor. When Resolution 2 took place, I watched it. An individual got up and he spoke really passionately. It was Pastor Kevin Anderson, North Las Vegas Baptist Church, stating, hey, we got to name this thing by name. It's insufficient, vague, nebulous, unclear, and ambiguous, not to mention redundant. Quote, I, like many people, have flown a great distance to address an ideology which tells me I'm inherently guilty because of the melanin content of my skin. I am either an ignorant oppressor or a conscious oppressor because of that melanin content. 2 years ago, we approved critical race theory as a teaching tool, and now we need to address it by its name, and this resolution doesn't. Local school systems address it by critical theory. Governors call it critical theory. State school systems call it critical race theory. If we don't have the courage to call a skunk, let's not say anything. He was heard. And it was responded to, and I have to confess, in ways I didn't think were entirely gracious, we regularly heard the term, if people cared as much about the gospel as they do about CRT, we wouldn't be in this pickle. Eeks, zoinks, scoob. That's kind of below the belt. Sportsmanship regarding debates. So he was shut down, responded to, and then somebody called it. That's it. Call the vote. And boom, that was the end of the debate. So it wasn't allowed out of committee. Interesting. And it wasn't allowed to be debated. And so it passed. And now the SBC is left with something that they, we have to assume the best. Aren't we commanded to do that? The reason that people did not want to name it by name, which I disagree with, by the way, but the reason they didn't want to do it is because they're struggling so hard to maintain unity inside of the SBC. That is a hallmark of the SBC. We're broad, on the conservative side broad, but we have unity together. And so we didn't want the people who threatened to leave if we denounced CRT, so we're just denouncing all stuff, but not by name. It appears to have placated the group who is threatening. It has not placated those on the right-hand side who are saying, no, this thing is bad news. Get it out of here. And I do believe that there is something that needs to be considered and decided now that I believe would help the SBC. Many comments were also made about the world watching. The people, the newspapers are watching. They want to write about this stuff. We heard that regularly. It wasn't just one. It was several times. Hey, we got to get this right because the world is watching. Yeah, the world is watching. Agreed. But shouldn't we be more concerned that God is watching? If we do not definitively determine with both feet under the view that says what matters most is God, of course we're aware of the world, but we are going to do what God demands, that would be perhaps the most helpful tweak that could take place inside of the convention, or at least a helpful tweak that could take place inside of the convention. That we make a determination, we're going to wrestle through this thing. We are going to figure out what it is, but we are going to do it caring about what God cares about. His reputation, His word, His church, His people. And then we'll just figure out how to address the world. If we don't do it in that order, I think you're going to have a persistent muddle. And the question, the only thing that will ultimately divide the SBC is when I think people on the right make a decision that the issue on CRT is so big that it's worthy of disassociation. I think that's how it's going to have to happen, because the folks who believe in CRT, they'll be happy while it's not denounced. That appears to be what's already happened. And so there can be some unity that exists in the SBC, but if the people on the right side of this go, no, this issue is too deep, it is too profound, and we're going to have to separate, then they're going to separate. I don't know that everybody on the right side has made that decision. I believe some have. And they're just fighting to keep the fault line from fissuring till we're divided totally. But not everybody has. When it's one voice on the right-hand side that CRT is very bad and has no business inside of a convention, and we don't want to be associated with a convention that endorses it, then you're going to see a split. And that is why I would encourage the SBC, just put it on your phylacteries. We care what God thinks, and that might cause a different response to CRT and what we think about it. The second resolution was a resolution on life that is worthy of our consideration. There's no question, if you watch 10 minutes of the SBC convention, everybody was pro-life. Everybody. Now, there are different people who have a difference of opinion about how to go about the business of addressing the life issue. One fellow from the floor said, we need to just abolish this. We don't, this is anything less, we're not, it's not acceptable. And that's a tricky little statement, because ultimately a resolution was passed that basically said that anybody who holds to an incremental view, who does not accept any, if you accept anything less than total abolition of abortion, you're compromising. Woofta. That ultimately passed. I think that was a bad decision, and I think the babies would back that up. If we persuade ourselves that we're never happy about an incremental victory, and that we take steps, because that's the way the system works. You take steps, and we're not going to be happy until it's abolished, which nobody is, by the way. Nobody's happy till it's abolished. And the fact that you celebrate a pro-life victory, it doesn't mean that you don't want it abolished. We all want it abolished. But some of us are willing to accept incremental victories along the way, and I think the babies would say amen to that. It's very difficult for me to imagine that a piece of legislation would be forwarded that was pro-life, and we would say, ah, but it wasn't abolition, so nope, not happy about it. Nope, they discontinued funding to Planned Parenthood, but it's not abolition, therefore we're not satisfied with it. I don't think I could explain that to a baby who is going to be aborted because of that. And so the difference between being pro-life abolition and pro-life incremental came to the fore. The SBC, I was kind of surprised. It appears that abolition is, well, at least that's what was voted on. And incrementalism was denounced. Ouch, that hurts a lot, because there are many people in the pro-life movement who absolutely want it abolished, but are working tirelessly. They are engaging themselves and spending a fair amount of energy in an effort to try to save the lives of babies. And when they're told by a resolution at the SBC, nope, you're compromising. Oof-da. That is, look, abolitionist brothers and sisters, you're Orthodox, I'm Orthodox. I disagree with you. I don't hate you. I don't think you're a terrorist. I don't think you're terrible. I don't think you're compromising more or less. You just have a different take on this. And I believe that that should be the attitude we all wanted about. So in one sense, we're all abolitionists. In our contemporary sense, the abolition movement is nothing short of making it illegal is acceptable. Well, I understand that. I get that. I actually believe that. It's not acceptable. Incrementalism, it's not fully acceptable. But to say that it's compromising if you're glad that pro-life legislation protected some babies, that's a resolution that I don't think was helpful. This is Wretched Radio. Not that we normally quote Joseph Stalin on Wretched, nevertheless, he rightly said the death of one man is a tragedy. The death of millions is a statistic. We have to be so careful that our Christian hearts don't grow cold when we hear the statistic that 1 million babies die every year from abortions. We need to remember that is one baby at a time. That is one mommy. That is one child. That is even one daddy.
My choice to become a mom and hear those little footsteps running down the hallway every morning is all because I had an ultrasound. It saved my life and hers.
Ultrasounds save lives, one baby at a time. How many ultrasounds could you provide through preborn.org/wretched for just $28 per ultrasound? Please help save one baby at a time. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
All right, so what are some of the best combinations you can think of? Rice and beans? Bacon and eggs? How about you and Wretched? Yep, that's right. When you become a Wretched Gospel partner, you and Wretched become one of the best combinations in the world. Combining our efforts allows us to reach more people all over the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's like peanut butter and jelly. Separately, they're pretty good, but combined together, they become great. And thanks to you, Wretched is among the top 5% of all podcasts across platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and all the others. Together, we have reached millions. As a matter of fact, check this out. Wretched has been downloaded nearly 11 million times. That is an amazing feat that we want to increase. Get all of the details on becoming a Wretched Gospel partner right now by visiting wretched.org/donate. Or you can text the word Wretched to the number 44321. You and Wretched, it's even better than salt and pepper.
Surprise! I continue to be surprised by MediShare, even though I researched it like nobody's business before Mrs. Friel and I committed to affordable, biblical health sharing as opposed to our traditional insurance plan. I researched, but I did not know all the things that I'm discovering about MediShare. For instance, people are way more satisfied after making the switch. The customer satisfaction rate is double that of typical health insurance plans. Double. Is MediShare right for everyone? No, nothing really is. But it might be right for your family, and you might be very, very happy with it, especially when you're saving on average $500 per month per family. Interested? Learn more at MediShare.com/wretched or receive a quote within 2 minutes by calling 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the door. A door serves to provide or prevent access. Thieves and robbers are prevented from entering in. But those who trust in Christ are able to come through him into eternal salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Can you hear that sound? It sounds a lot like a horse chomping at the bit. This is Wretched Radio. So, Jimmy, you've been listening to several conversations about the SBC. I suspect you've got some thoughts, don't you?
I've got a lot of thoughts.
Well, about this subject.
Well, lead me. Where do you want me to start? Because this could go all over the place.
You know, then why don't you tell me, in order of this is what's annoyed you about what you've heard so far, what would be the number one thing?
The number one thing is not calling CRT by name.
Oh, okay. So I was asking if you wanted to disagree with anything I said or Pastor Mike Stone said.
No, I don't think so. I'm in full agreement.
But the denouncing of the all of the convention decisions, the decision to just denounce it by advocating for the supremacy of Scripture in dealing with racial issues, not enough in your opinion. Now, here's my question for you, and this is one worth pondering. The individuals who put this forward, it was really clear there was an effort to try to assuage and just to, let's see if we can get everybody happy with this, kind of middle-of-the-road statement. Those people, do you believe that they are evil, terrible heretics?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so these are brothers,
yes,
who have made a decision that we just would disagree with.
Absolutely.
Okay, so do you believe that this particular decision to not denounce CRT by name is worthy of division?
No.
But you hesitated.
Well, it's not worthy of division. It's worthy of deeper conversation that might wind up leading to division.
Yeah, that's why I think until somehow somebody makes the case and can state, look, this is not an essential Orthodox issue per se, because we would operate under the five sola rule.
Right.
You got to have that stuff square. Well, where's CRT in that? No, somebody might make an argument for sola scriptura and saying this undermines it. Sadly, I believe that's going to be a hard sell, because we do not follow the Reformers' views, who would say, if you don't believe in the inerrancy, infallibility, sufficiency of Scripture, you're not a Christian. That was the line. Today, not so much. Furthermore, the belief is, and this was fascinating for me to watch the SBC, everybody there, did you notice, called themselves a conservative?
Yes, oh yeah.
Everybody denounced liberalism.
Yes.
Okay. Somebody's not. Okay, somebody's off on these things. Somebody's more to the left of these things. But I would like to perhaps take a grain of hope out of that. These are guys who are not trying to become pro-aborts, voting for socialists. That's not what we're talking about here. Right. And they would say, no, we do have a high view of the Bible. All right, somebody's wrong. We'll get that sorted. But this is, it's not like you're dealing with, sorry for this, but it's not like we're talking liberal Lutheran here.
Right.
Liberal Lutheran is just rank apostasy. They are just, what they're doing, they couldn't do more to demonstrate they're outside of orthodoxy. That's not what liberal is in this instance. And I think that's actually an encouraging thing. Because I was kind of like, huh, you keep calling yourself a conservative, but I'm disagreeing with you on this. So we're just seeing this thing a little bit differently, and it's causing some serious angst here. And until I think we get to the point where we can say CRT is an essential issue because of this, I just think you're going to have people struggling to be together, and some people who are just going to get frustrated and go someplace else.
Exactly.
But I think there's some good news, Jimmy.
What's that?
I don't think this is going to last long.
How do you say? You making a prophecy?
Divine prophecy. No, I'm not making a prophecy, but this is, if we can study history of evangelicalism, there is one word that really appears over and over again, and that word is pragmatism. And that we are trendy. Okay, two words. We're very trendy. We kind of latch on to the thing that's the big deal in our culture. We let the world dictate our conversations. We've done this before. Sometimes, actually, in a good way. The abortion issue. The world brought up abortion in 1973. Took a little while, stumbled a little bit here and there, but overall evangelicals got with the pro-life program and have done a magnificent job of battling against a culture of death. But there's other times when we latch onto what the world is into. For instance, when you want to know why we have an entertainment-style church, it's because that's what the world wants. It's the worldly way to do church, because the world has told the church, we kind of prefer it that way, and we'll come, perhaps, if you provide that. We did, they are, and we look worldly, because we follow the conversation, the pattern, we listen to the voices of the world. And I think the only reason, frankly, that this issue is a hot issue is because the world is talking about it. Do you want to know what the hot button issue was probably 2 years ago? Do you remember what it is, Jimmy? They come and they go.
Remind me.
Sex trafficking.
Okay.
Yeah. Remember? That was like a big deal.
Yes.
And it is a big deal, clearly. But it was suddenly Christians are like, this is our mission field. Okay. Now, I don't know everything that's happening with it, but I haven't heard much about the anti-sex trafficking movement inside of evangelical Christianity now for a couple of years. It just kind of stopped. Why? Because the world stopped talking about it. And now the world is talking about racial issues. And the church is talking about racial issues. Thankfully, the world tends to have a short attention span, and when it passes from the world stage, I think it'll pass from the church, and it'll go away, and it'll hopefully be a bad memory. In the meantime, we've got people at odds with one another, and there's unity, but oof-ta, which actually raises an interesting question. How broad can your faith statement be in your church? Forget the SBC. How broad can it be in your church? This is my contention on the issue. One of the reasons that I believe currently the SBC is finding itself in this situation, and this is a debatable position, nevertheless, it's because they do accept a very broad view on issues. And they actually esteem that and celebrate that. Hey, we're kind of the big tent party here. This convention, it's okay, we can just get along, and we're not going to criticize each other publicly. That's bad form in the SBC. I'm sorry, did I say SBC? I meant Great Commission Baptist Organization, because that'll be in 2 years. There's a prophecy for you, 2 years. Not going to be the SBC, it's going to be the Great Commission Baptist.
That's where it's headed.
Well, I mean, it was being used all the time. J.D. Greer was using it constantly. We're Great Commission Baptists. Like a rebranding effort had already begun to kind of lay down the tracks for that train to leave the station, which it probably already has. They celebrate wideness, and I think that's the very thing that's costing them right now. This is my take. Your mileage may vary. It is my opinion. The tighter, the more robust, the more stringent theological statement you have, the better, the safer you are. And people know. They come in, don't bother knocking. You can't come in. We're because it's the devil when you look at him, and we're not interested. So scram. And they don't go after those things that are fortified. But if there's a crack that we disagree on a lot of stuff, look out. Liberalism will come crashing in. And that is what I think has happened in the SBC because of their desire for broadness. And I get it. It's not my ilk, my bent, my perspective on how to do it. But I think that that good desire on their behalf is the very thing that now has them in the 52 versus 47 position that they're currently in with the divide in the SBC. Your church and your elders might want to talk about this. I think this is a lesson that can be learned from the SBC. If you are accepting of a lot of variances, look out. Now, do I understand that there are people who can, of course, inside of a body hold to secondary issues? Yeah. It depends on what they are, of course, because some of them can be so toxic that it causes division. It depends on their attitude toward trying to propagate their beliefs and cause division in the church. That, of course, will be a problem. But I think that we need to shore up conservative theology, a faith statement that is robust, that labels these things. And this is where we stand. Elders, I would encourage you, please be encouraged to take a stand. Please think about this. I can't tell you what to do, and I get it. You're there. I'm not. The nuances, the people, I understand. But I don't think that you're going to endure in our current culture by trying to placate. But there's more to it than that. God is watching. What sort of faith statement does God want us to have? Here's a question worth pondering. Here's some Tishreiden for you. This is great dinner conversation. Is it better for the SBC to be broader or narrower in its theological acceptance, its issue acceptance? They definitely have lines, life issue, marriage issue, and so far, role of women in the church issue, although that seems to be up for grabs at the moment. But has it benefited them, or would it be better to be a smaller movement, a smaller association, denomination, convention, or local church, and be rock solid biblical in all of your affirmation? That, oh so trendy, is a conversation well worth having. And until tomorrow, go serve your kingdom.